those few sheep alone in the wilderness. There we go, Psalm 23. The good shepherd leads his sheep and he does not leave them alone in the wilderness. Albeit he had so much to suffer that we might suppose his whole soul to be concentrated upon the thought of the suffering to be endured, yet it was not so. Charles H. Spurgeon said that. Jesus Christ was not, he did not lead a life of selfishness. He always led a life of service and unselfishness. He came here to serve and not to be served. Before he left, he gave soothing words of comfort. We see what he promises in his word. I will send you another comforter, one who shall be just what I have been. Yea, even more. Wow. Who shall console you in your sorrows? Remove your doubts, comfort you in your afflictions, and stand by as my vicar on earth to do that which I would have done had I tarried with you. So the Holy Spirit is doing more for us than if Christ had tarried with us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's big. That's big. He will comfort us in all our afflictions. Not some, not a few, in all our afflictions. All means all. Zero means zero. Do I need to explain more? The Word of God explains it all. In verse 2, Jesus is telling us that whoever doesn't bear fruit are taken away. It is intimated that there are many who pass for branches in Christ who yet do not bear fruit. Were they really united to Christ by faith? If they were, they would bear fruit. But because their outward confession of faith seemed to be weak and not heartfelt or sincere, being tied to Christ by the thread of an outward profession, a weak profession at that, though they seem to be branches, they will soon be seen as dry ones. You probably have heard so-called Christians say things like, "Oh, I trust God. I believe in His name. I trust in His name. So I'm born again." Sure you are. But show me your fruits. Show us your fruits. What fruits are you manifesting? Why are you church hopping? Oh. Looking for a church that condones you fornicating with your girlfriend. That's okay. If you live with your girlfriend, that's okay. Come to our church. Sin is sin, people. God calls it sin, and it's sin. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So every branch in Christ that does not bear fruit will be taken away or lift up. Spiritual loss, spiritual privileges are withdrawn. When we get judged, go before the judgment seat, God will purge our good works. He'll throw all our works into the oven. Bang, there you go. What's going to come out good? What's going to come out as pure as gold? And what's going to be burned up? Remember, you're born again of God's Holy Spirit. You have eternal life. That's God's promise, and He's a God who cannot lie. So what is burned up? All the fruits that were useless or worthless are burned up. The good fruits come out as pure as gold. Your spiritual privileges are lost. As many as fruits that you do not bear or good seed that you plant. The spiritual privilege that you would have had otherwise, you lose. They're withdrawn. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. The more we abide in his truth, the Holy Scriptures, the more he will reveal to us and teach us where or what scripture he wants us to know. The Christian that does abide in Christ and keep his word and obey his laws and statute does bear good fruit. And when our Father sees us begin to stray, he chastises us. Because he what? He loves us. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. After God disciplines me, I will bear more good fruit. When we prune a tree, it's to allow new branches to come forth. Same thing with the spiritual pruning. But he knows the way that I take. He knows what's on our hearts. We can't hide a thing from God. He searches our hearts. So when you think you're in a hotel room cheating on your wife or doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, he knows. And you do too. Because it bothers you. It bothers you. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. The fourth part of our text, for without me you can do nothing. Powerlessness, often due to sin and unbelief of people. When Israel was unfaithful and forsook the Lord to serve Baal and the Ashtoreths, the Lord got hot against Israel and delivered them into the hands of their enemies. And they were powerless to stand against their enemies because they turned away from God. We lose strength. When we decide to go our own way in life and keep God out of it, we lose the power we could have had when we keep God first in our lives. If we would have kept God first in our lives, we would have the power that's due us if we stay faithful. But when we leave God and decide to go our own way, we lose strength. Every day, all day, continually, God first. Without Him, we can do nothing. We are physically weak and spiritually weak. When we are physically, we're like the woman with the 18-year infirmity and the sick man at the pool. They were physically weak. They needed help. They needed God. And Jesus delivered them both because they went to Him faithfully. In faith, they went to Him. And they cured them. But when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us, people. He died for us, the ungodly, sinners. When we abide in Christ by keeping His word, studying His word, and doing His will according to His word, we become strong spiritually, and then we are or become physically strong according to His will and His promise that we find in the Holy Scriptures, in the Holy Bible. For without me you can do nothing. Abiding is essential to spiritual life. If we cut ourselves from the vine, we die slowly. The master key of prayer is abiding in Christ. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my works abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. The power of prayer. No longer powerlessness, powerfulness. Some, actually many unbelievers pray to saints in heaven believing that they're going to get their prayers answered or that God is listening. God is listening? Well, reality check. Let's see what the Word of God says. But through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Bingo. That's it. God said it, that settles it. For we have access by one Spirit to the Father. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I'm going to say it again from God's Word. Without me, you can do nothing. Can't say it enough. Bombard our brain with that verse. Without God or Christ, we can do nothing. So when we abide in Christ and He is in us and we bear much fruit, good fruit, by our continuous good works for Him, what happens? We glorify God in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We glorify God in Christ when we pray. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus said in John 17:4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus did his Father's will here on earth and glorified the Father in so doing. And we also must continue to do our Father's will. God's Son commissioned us to do so. The Great Commission, found in Matthew 28. When the Sanhedrin forbade the apostles to preach the resurrection from the dead and teaching in Jesus' name, Peter and John were empowered by the Holy Spirit with boldness. For we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So we also can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak with boldness if you have doubt or fear. Remember the power of prayer. Pray for boldness and pray for fearlessness. For the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So to the scoffers, unbelievers, and all the sinners in my hearing this morning, are you tired of being without God in your life? Are you tired of not sure whether or not you're going to heaven? Are you still doubtful what you must do? Or do you want answers? Do you really want the truth? Do you want to be doubtless about going to heaven? I did also at one time in my life, over 30 years ago. But a Christian came and evangelized to me. She brought me to a Bible study. And that changed my whole life from then on in. Do you want to be doubtless about going to heaven? Like I said, I did also. And God promised me, through the work of Jesus on the cross, I should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can find that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on His name shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Heavenly Father, I pray that the people in my hearing this morning will be convicted by the Holy Spirit and will be brought to the Holy Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, Lord, the truth, the light, for You are the light. And without You, we can do nothing. You are the way that guides us, because without You, we can do nothing. Heavenly Father, we ask for Your blessing upon this afternoon's fellowship with the church at Cold Spring Park, that we be endued with power from the Holy Spirit to speak Your truth, to give us courage, to help us say the words that You want us to say, Father, so that another sinner may be saved by Your salvation. And may we also be endued and manifest the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. For against such there is no law. Let us now offer each other the sign of peace.